Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study. We're back in our Father's Word, Book of Genesis, chapter 4 today. Remember what happened in chapter 3 and verse 15 through 17 is that God had, it was the first prophecy in God's Word that the serpent seed, that would be the seed the devil planted here on earth, which would be none other than Cain. He would put enmity between the serpent seed and the woman's seed, that the serpent seed would bruise the heel of the woman's seed, and the woman's seed would bruise the head of the serpent. Of course, the heel was when Christ was nailed to the cross. The last half of that prophecy is yet to come to pass when we do in the head of Satan. That won't happen until the end of the millennium, of course. But how precious it is to know and understand how it was in the beginning. And now man has been run from the Garden of Eden. And let's pick it up, if we may, with chapter 4. And let's take some of the genealogies of the peoples. Chapter 4 and verse 1, and it reads with that word of wisdom from our Father. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Ish-ith-Yahweh. Now, of course, she's innocent. She has no idea. But now, we know that she did conceive from Adam, but watch this closely. Verse 2. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, there is one word that we need to analyze in that particular verse, because what does it mean, and again she bare? Let's call up the Hebrew word for again. It's yasaf. It's a primitive root, and it's to add or augment, often abbreviated, to continue to do a thing. And that's good enough, to continue to do a thing. If she's giving birth to Cain, and she continues giving birth, what does that mean? They're twins. She is giving birth to twins, not identical twins, but paternal twins. And if you don't understand those terminologies, you check with your doctor. He can straighten you out on it. But certainly we have two brothers. One is the keeper of sheep. That's symbolic of our people. And the other is the tiller of the soil. Verse 3, as we continue. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now, it didn't say he brought first fruits. Didn't say he brought the very best. Simply says he brought some fruit. Verse 4, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings. I mean, this is top of the line. Of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Now, what do you learn from that? They both came to the age of accountability and of sacrifice at the same time. Why? Because they're twins. And it becomes so obvious, it stares you right in the face here. And certainly, God is not pleased, as we're going to find out, with Cain's offering. Well, why would he not? Because the soil is never going to produce for a Kenite. Never going to. Verse 5. But unto Cain, as to his offering, he had no respect. God didn't respect it. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Boy, you could tell by looking at his face, he was one sad sack. He's not getting away with it. Where did this meanness, where did this covetousness, where did these jealousies come from? There was nothing innocent about it. He inherited it. And his old countenance fell clear down to his foot. Verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? What are you ticked off about? Question. And why is thy countenance fallen? Question. Don't think our Father didn't know. 7. If, note that big word, if thou doest well, and if you're honest, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, if you're not honest, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall it be his, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And so there it is that we see he's not honest. Why, where he came from, who his father was. Verse 8, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. All the ancient manuscripts has, and he said to his brother, let's go into the field. He cornered him, plotted, put him up to it. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Again, where did this come from? He murdered him. Murdered his brother. Who did he inherit this wickedness from? And, you know, Christ taught us over and over, and I think we should go there to the New Testament and have an understanding of this. Let's go to Matthew chapter 23, if we may. Matthew chapter 23, and let's take the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning this subject. And we're going to pick it up. You're going to have it on the screen. Verse 33, listen to it. This is the chapter where Christ said the scribes and Pharisees sit in the seat of Moses. In other words, they moved into the law-giving stage. And here he's talking to the Kenites, sons of Cain. How do you know they're the sons of Cain? Well, listen to it. Ye serpents, you generation, the word in the Greek is offspring, you offspring of vipers, that old snake, serpent, the devil. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Verse 34. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall you scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. 35. What? Why? That up on you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth from the blood of righteous Abel. This identifies them. Who slew Abel? Cain did. Unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. So there you have it. This is Jesus Christ himself pointing to the fact that the offspring of the serpent is the one who murdered both Abel and all the prophets, basically, down through time and so forth. Let's go to another place where Paul would teach us a thing. Let's go to the first epistle of John. You're going to have it on the screen. The first epistle of John, chapter 3. Let's pick it up with verse 11. Let's see if you've heard of this. Verse 11 reads, this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Have you heard that message from the very beginning? Not as what? 12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. That's progeny. He was the offspring of the wicked one. And slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Question. Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. That's as it is. Well, how? Well, I've never heard that before. Well, you've never really studied God's word, then, have you? Because Christ tried to warn us. He pleaded with us to know the truth. That isn't all. And when you go to St. John chapter 8, verse 44, and then we'll return back to Genesis one more time from the teachings of Christ. This is where the Kenites would try to say, we be the children of Abraham. Well, Abraham's the father of all nations, so naturally they would be. But then he begins to tell them, he says, why won't you hear my voice? Why don't you listen to me? Why don't you have a little compassion? Verse 44, he tells them why. Ye are of your father the devil. The devil's their father. You got it? And the lust of your father ye will do. It's in you. He was a murderer from the beginning. That's Cain. Well, who was the first murderer? Duh. Well, let me think. Well, it's Cain, of course. Kenites. And abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he is a speaker. He speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And so it is that this wickedness came into the world. And it's important that you know the difference. So now, returning to chapter 4, so that you understand why he would lie in wait and why he would shed the blood of his brother. It was pure old jealousy and devilish, right from the devil himself, the serpent, the offspring that he was. Verse 9 of chapter 4, the great book of Genesis, let's go with it. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? That's a question. And he said, I know not, liar. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, he certainly wasn't. He was his brother's murderer. Verse 10. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. This blood, word blood, is plural in the Hebrew manuscripts, and because it's not only Abel, but all the children he would have sired and brought forth in his lifetime. They're all crying out. Verse 11, and now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. You did it. You're guilty. Verse 12, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And so it was that they are. You know, the earth will never produce for a Kenite, even to this day. If Kenites have farms, they have to have workers to farm it for them, or it won't produce. Why? It's a curse from God. And vagabonds they are, as it is written in Jeremiah chapter 35, when they first took shelter in Jerusalem and would begin to be called of our brother Judah simply because they moved in with him for protection. They spoke of their great father, Yonadab, greatest Yahweh is what it means, that they obeyed their father to the letter. And God kind of admired them for that. He said, I can't find that in Israel, certainly, that my children would obey me the way you obey your father. And here we have the Kenites moving into the land of Judea. And naturally, once you move into the land of Judea, just like if you were to move into the Arkansas, you would be an Arkansan. And if you moved into Judea, you were a Judean. And so they were. The thing is, you're supposed to know the difference, because this very chapter we're reading here now gives you the genealogy of Cain. The next chapter will give the genealogy of Adam. You will not find Cain in Adam's genealogy. Why? Well, I would think that chapter 3 told you why. It wasn't his father. That's why he's not in his genealogy. And that's a child can determine that. So let's go with the next verse then, verse 13. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Well, he just murdered his own brother. Talk about punishment. 14. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. Whoa, wait a minute. Where are all these people that would slay him? It's the six-day creation. Cain and Abel were the only two offspring to this time that there was any problem with. What are all these people? Six-day creation. Wake up to it. Verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And so it is that we have that mark. It's spiritual discernment. You can sense it if God has given you the gift. If you get near one that is a practicing Kenite, and the Hebrew word is Kagan, and when you get near someone Kagan, then you know and understand. Kagan was king of the Khazars. And Cain means possession or possessor. And of course, Abel meant breath or vapor. Maybe the reason he was named vapor, he didn't last that long till he became a vapor. Verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Now let me see. He went east out of Eden where the four rivers were. And he settled in the land of Nod. What did he do there? 17. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. Now, where in the world did his wife come from? In this land of Nod. The people were already there. From the six-day creation. You've got to wake up and understand and believe the Word of God as we studied in the chapter 1 of this book, that God created all the races on the sixth day. And it was good. He loves every race, and that's why they're here. They are children of God, and God loves them all. And this is where Cain went. You know, this is where so many churches, they say, well, now, how can we explain this? Well, they can't. Why? Because they do not teach the manuscripts. They do not teach the six-day creation as God's Word teaches it. So here we have old Cain. He's settled over and he brought in Enoch. You're going to find that the names of Cain's offspring are very nearly the same name as those of Adam. It's done for a purpose. To set you as a watchman to know the difference, that you don't go, you listen to names, but you go by spiritual and the mark of Cain. Verse 18. And Enoch, this is dedicated, okay, was born Irad, that means fleet, real fast, and Irad begat Mehujael, that's smitten by God, and Mehujael begat Methuselah, and Methuselah, man of God, begat Lamech, powerful, being the definition, the translation of the names. Verse 19. And Lamech, O powerful, took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, that means beautiful, and the name of the other, Zillah, which means shade. 20, and Ada bare Jabal, that's a stream. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. Verse 21, and his brother's name was Jubal. Jubal means music. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ, and so it is to this day. That many of the talents are gifted. Verse 22, and Zillah, the other wife, she also bare Tubal-Cain, of Cain, an instructor of every artifact in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah, which means loveliness. He was a metal worker. And so the trend goes, city builders, music, and metal workers. 23, and Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, ye listen to me. For I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. 24, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold. Truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. Now, that's not a saying of God, that's a saying of him. And guess what? Anytime it comes out of the mouth of a serpentine, it's a lie, most usually. And a liar and the father of it. Verse 25. And we switch here to Adam. Remember those names. Adam. Verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. That's compensation, probably to compensate for Abel. For God says, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. So here you have the very first child of Adam that is living. The other one, Cain slew. 26. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. They began to look forward to the Lord. This is mortal man began to look to the Lord. Chapter 5, listen carefully now. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. That's the way it was. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. That means mankind. Adam means ruddy complected. That's what the word Adam means, the name. 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Now, this is Seth being here, the first child of Adam at Abel's demise. Why, as the teaching of most people, and especially of ignorance back in the beginning of chapter 4, and the fact that Adam knew his wife and she conceived, she had already conceived one seed with paternal twins. And why isn't Cain in Adam's genealogy? Well, that really, do you think God forgot something? Do you think for one minute that God would leave something out? So then, what is the obvious answer from your having read the scripture up to this point? The reason Cain isn't in Adam's offspring, he was not Adam's offspring. Bingo. Now you're beginning to learn from God's word. He was not a child of Adam, or he would have been in Adam's genealogy. After Abel's murder, Seth was the first child of Adam. Now continuing with verse 4. And verse 4 reads, and the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. There were other children there, but he lived, you know, God promised him the day he touched that tree of the good and evil, he would die. And how long is a day with the Lord? 1,000 years of man's time. He almost made it, 800 years. He begat sons and daughters, but how long will he live? 5. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. He almost made it to that full day. But the reason he didn't is God had already promised him, the day you touch that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's to say Satan, you're going to die. In the Lord's day, that's 1,000 years, and so he did. It was accomplished. But he does leave this one seed, Seth, to carry on that genealogy, the destiny through which the Savior of the Lord Jesus Christ would be born. Verse 6, and Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. You'll notice the names now. And verse 7, and Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. In other words, there were other sons and daughters. Enos means frail or mortal, because mortals are frail compared to longevity. 8, And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. He almost made it to that 1,000 years. Verse 9, and Enos lived 90 years and begat Cainan. That means possessor. Okay. 10, and Enos, this possessor, lived after he begat Cainan, this possessor, rather to say, 815 years and begat sons and daughters. Bear in mind, there's a lot of other children being born in this genealogy. 11, and all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. You notice that lifespan begins to shorten as we go here. 12, and Cainan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel, that's to say, praise of God, okay? And verse 13, and Cainan lived after he had begat Mahalalel 840 years and begat sons and daughters. And here we see that these sons and daughters kept coming, and so it was that God blessed. But here again, why isn't Cain's offspring, we had it back in chapter 4, why aren't they in this? Because they were not of his offspring. They had a different father. Well, how do we know that for sure? Well, Christ, I've read it in the New Testament. Christ told you over and over that they were of the serpent seed. And so it was. Well, you might, there are some people just shriek when you say serpent seed, they just draw up. It's God's word. You read it in chapter 3. I will put enmity between thy seed, speaking to the serpent, and the woman's seed. How can you teach God's word if you don't teach the truth? Because God's word is the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. The truth will set you free from the enemy because it identifies the enemy. And therefore, everyone that is of God knows how to handle a situation when God gives you power over all of your enemies. As it is written in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. How precious it is that our Father protects his children. Verse 14, and the days of Cainan were 910 years, and he died. 15, and Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. 16, and Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And how long did he live? 17. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. So we see these lifespans as they begin to shorten. And so it is as it would go through on out time as man would continue to pollute the earth and with the Kenites in the world, bringing that sin at the door, just like Satan said. If there's sin there, it will overtake you. That's why you have to rise above it. That's why these genealogies let you know. And you'd better know the difference. You'd better know who your enemy is. The controversy is between Satan and Christ. If you're a Christian, it isn't difficult to know your enemy is Satan and his offspring. Verse 17 to continue. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. Enoch is a very special person. Enoch will be a preacher. There will be some things begin to take place that we will learn in a chapter hence that Enoch was preaching against. Enoch was a very good person. He is the first person that God ever transfigured. Let's go with the next verse. Verse 19. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. How long did he live then? 20. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And this is an interesting thing. What would Enoch be preaching? Well, this is that we have an enemy with us in our midst. You read it in chapter 4. They were murderers, city builders. Woe to those that build house on the house. Next verse, please. 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. This would probably be the oldest, okay? 22. And Enoch walked with God, and he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. 23. Listen carefully. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Wow, that's really what happened then. 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. God transfigured him. He was preaching something that we will learn of in chapter 6. He was preaching something that we've been preaching from chapter 1 all the way through, that we have enemies here on earth. It is not so much that they are enemies or that they are deceivers. They will muddy the water until it's very difficult to learn truth, whereby you can see clearly the Word of God and the plan of God, whereby you are blessed of God for having followed His Word. That is very important. So Enoch was transfigured. Why? Well, we will pick it up in the next lecture. Don't you miss it. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13, 23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, you share it. Once you do that, please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. We do not judge people. We have one judge. That's our Father. He's sufficient. If you're blessed, you do have spiritual discernment. That pretty well gives you at first impulse how to read someone, how to read a word, whether it's true or false, and so forth. Intuitively, as a Christian with the gift of discernment, you know these things. You can sense the presence of an evil spirit simply by having that gift. It's precious. It's a gift from Almighty God. You want to, well, how do you come by that? Well, you let Him know you love Him and you understand His Word. And you know and understand who our enemy is. The controversy is between Satan and Christ. Make up your mind which side you want to be on and stay there. Okay, now, those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you, and your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Again, always a pleasure. Got a prayer request? You don't need a number, don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. He loves you. That's why He created you different than anyone else. Your DNA is different. Your fingerprints are different. You're unique. He loves you, but He wants you to return that love and to let Him know it and be available for Him. Father, around the globe we come, we ask that You lead, guide, direct, Father, touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and question time. Let's go with Rosemary from Illinois. If there were only 8 people on the ark, Noah's family, and they repopulated the earth, where did we get all the different races from? Please explain. Well, there were only 8 Adamic souls. Let me rephrase it even. There were only 8 Eth-Ha-Adamic souls aboard the ark. Well, what else was aboard the ark? 2 of every flesh, which means 2 of every race. But there were only, again, the word is about the family through which Christ would come through. That's Eth-Ha-Adam's family. And so it is. So that's how they were aboard the ark. We'll get in the next chapter. Chapter 6 will explain a great deal of that. Hang tough. And we got another one from Rosemary from Indiana. Will the third world age, the millennium, be a perfect world? Well, I got to correct you. The millennium is not the third earth age. The millennium is the cap of this one. In other words, the earth is not changed. Only people. Only people are changed into spiritual bodies. Many will have immortal souls that overcome, but many, the majority that are here now, will still only have mortal souls. Mortal means liable to die. What? On Judgment Day, at the end of the millennium. So the third earth age does not begin until the end of the millennium. And then is this earth reformed back to its original place. It is rejuvenated, as Revelation 21:1 so stipulates in the manuscripts. Peggy from Arkansas. When we are delivered up before the Antichrist, do we do as Christ did and keep our mouths shut? You keep your mouth shut until the Holy Spirit speaks through you. You do not speak, the Holy Spirit speaks. That is the miracle of receiving the Holy Spirit. That is what happened on Pentecost Day. That is what happened in the great book of Joel in chapter 2. Both sons and daughters spoke in that language. And it was not they that spoke, but it was the Holy Spirit. Well, what is the Holy Spirit? It's God's Spirit. It's God speaking through you. He'll do the talking. Frank from Illinois, my wife and I study with you daily. Well, Grace, good to have you with us. Are the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit individual or one person? Well, a spirit is not a person. A spirit belongs to someone. And if it's holy, it belongs to God. So our Heavenly Father is Yahweh, the creator of all things. Yeshua is to say Yahweh, his Son, Emmanuel, God with us, and I'll say it again, Emmanuel, God with us. And when you have the Father and the Son, Emmanuel, God with us, also the Spirit of God is there naturally. That is the Holy Spirit. Gene from Kentucky. You want to be careful. A lot of people like to teach maybe 3, 4, 5, or 6 gods. That's sacrilegious. We have one God. That's our Heavenly Father. He has a Son, and then we have the Holy Spirit, his Spirit. Gene from Kentucky, please let me know if I'm saying God will not give me more than we can handle, and can you document and where? I have been argued or discussed that it is not so. I had to go to you to find out. Well, you came to the right place. God is never going to give you more than you can handle. Where is it written? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. But let's cover the whole thing. It says more than that. That as a human being, there's nothing going to happen to you that pretty well doesn't happen to everybody. So don't give me any poor me baby stuff. It happens to all of us. Some of us overcome and some just waller along. Okay. Now, then it says God will never test you over what you can handle in this same verse, 10:13, 1 Corinthians. But the most beautiful part of it, is the closing. He will never allow you to be overloaded, and he will always show you a way out. If you're a believer, he will always show you that way out or that way through. That's a promise from him. You know something? I believe that with all my heart, body, and soul. And I thank our Father for his love for his children. David from, I don't know where David is from. From California. David from California. Pastor Murray, God bless you and your teaching. You're welcome. In the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 5, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Is this relating to the dead in spirit? Please explain. Yes, they are not. They are nikros and nikos. You need to learn the difference in those two Greek words in your Strong's Concordance. They are not dead as we think of dead in the flesh, but they are spiritually dead, yet they are very awake spiritually. It simply means that their spiritual body put on the spiritual body, okay? Our flesh body put on the spiritual body. But the mortal, the soul, still is mortal. It's not immortal. If you overcome, your soul is immortal. But their soul is still mortal. That means liable to die. And that's their condition. They're liable to die when? At the end of the millennium, at the great white throne judgment. But they are very awake and will be taught through the millennium if they did not have every opportunity. And in the spiritual body, it's a lot easier to teach God's word than it is in the flesh. To the flesh. Richard from Arizona. In the first earth age, being in spirit bodies, what was the need for reproduction organs? There weren't any. What makes you think there were in the first earth age? You see, there's the first earth age and then there's this one. It's different in this one than it was in the first, even in the spiritual. Okay? And you know something? It will be different yet in the final, the third. As was found on the fallen angels and their ability to impregnate, that was in this earth age, not the first one, okay? Bo from Ohio. Since the flesh body returns unto dust of the earth from whence it came, when the silver cord is broken, and since the tomb of Jesus was empty, having no flesh body in it, what happened to the flesh body of Jesus? Haven't you ever read Matthew 17? Do you know what happened in Matthew 17? I mean, the rest were kind of drugged when they woke. What did they see? They not only saw the Lord Jesus Christ in a brilliant, shining, transfigured body, but they saw Moses and they saw Elijah. Elijah never died, and he was returned so that those could make record of the fact that Christ would not, his body would not be left behind when he ascended, but that he would be transfigured. Do you know why? Because you would have idiots that would, if the body was left here, that would never believe, because they would say, he didn't, right? He's right there, even though it was a dead body. So, therefore, as when that silver cord parts, the rest of us instantly switch into a spiritual body and return to the Father. The dust goes back to dust. But in this case, the idiots would never believe in the resurrection. So, therefore, God gave us, in that chapter, this beautiful, magnificent transformation, transfiguration, so that, and even more than that, made it appear that graves opened, and the old baker that had, everybody knew that died 6 months before, made the best bagels in town, come walking and charging and rejoicing down the streets of Jerusalem. Why? Christ had defeated death, and that was to document it for people that have a hard time believing. Patricia from Missouri. I watch you every day. My brother told me about you, and I thank God for you. I was raised in church, and my family is very religious. I've learned more from you in a month than in my whole church life. Well, God bless you. Studying God's Word does that. Thank you for your ministry. I would like to become a member of your church. What do I do to become a member? You take it up with the Lord Jesus Christ. If he accepts you, you're in. We don't have anything to do with it, okay? You just talk to him. My question is, I know the false Christ comes at the sixth trump, and the true Christ comes at the seventh. Will we hear the trump 1 through 5? Well, most of them have already sounded, so it is knowing the events that transpire that you recognize the trump we're within, okay? Linda from Texas, since God made all the races on the sixth day, we are not all from Adam and Eve, right? Absolutely. Today's lecture documented that. Cain, for one thing, the Kenites do not come from Adam. The six-day creation did not come from Eth Ha'adam. As the manuscripts so honestly and simply point out. You've got chapter 4, Cain's genealogy. You've got chapter 5, Adam's genealogy. You know, a child can pretty well, I'm not saying this to embarrass anyone, but a child studying genealogy can look at that and say, hey, Cain is not in Adam's genealogy, is he? Well, correct. Bingo. It's that simple that not all people came from Adam and Eve. You know something? Science itself can document that. That all the races genetically, it would be a scientific impossibility for all of them to come from two people because of the different makeups of the very beings themselves. Okay? Dorothy from Mississippi. Was Cain conceived by the devil? What race was Cain? Well, I think today answered that for you. Are you talking about the black race not being able to be saved? Absolutely not. Cain was not of the black race. And why would you even ask such a question? God created the races on the sixth day, and he looked, even the black race, and it was good. He approved. A lot of people, you know, it is a sad teaching that as we're going to get to chapter 9 here, and we're going to see that Noah is made drunk by his Ham, and Ham seduces Noah's wife and Canaan is born. They think that that's where the black race came from. That is so ignorant, so very ignorant. Because if you were a student of God's Word, you'd be familiar with Leviticus chapter 20, verse 11. To uncover your father's nakedness is to sleep with his wife. Okay. And that doesn't change your color. It wasn't God that drove Canaan away. It was Noah. Why? Because it wasn't his child. And he was, needless to say, upset big time. But that is not, it is ignorant for a preacher to teach that's where the black race came from. It was that incestuous affair. That is ignorant. God created all of the races on the sixth day, and he looked, and it was good. Eddie from Colorado. When someone dies, they go to one side of the gulf or the other. Where can I find this in the Bible? Luke chapter 16, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. God gives us a picture of paradise. That's where all those that have passed on are waiting for the millennium. Frank from California. Please explain about the 42 months that is talked about in Revelation. Well, 42 months is anytime a prophecy is given in months, that's moons. That's of the night, of darkness. It applies to Satan or has to do with Satan. When prophecy is given in days, that's solar, it means the children of God. So it is the 3.5 year period, the 42 months is, that Satan would have had, but God has shortened that time to a 5-month period, which you can read of in Revelation chapter 9. But it's 42 moons and a 3.5 year period. Moons because it's concerned Satan. Sandra from Virginia. Is there a lake of fire? Biblical documentation, please. I have friends that say that it is not true. That's sad, because they've never read Revelation chapter 20, verse 14, where God declares there is a lake of fire. That is, God is a consuming fire. And after the great white throne judgment, then people that don't make it will go into that lake of fire and are consumed, because God is a consuming fire. They're not going to be around any. We won't even remember them. They're blotted out, erased. It is disappointing when people would not even know. That's one of the most popular chapters. That's the millennium chapter in the great book of Revelation. 2014 is your documentation. Nora from Nevada. I do not go to my church anymore because of the teaching of the doctrine of rapture. And I asked one of the pastors about this doctrine, and the pastor really was into it, and I did not press on. The pastor and the members of that church always pray for me during my incapacitation. However, I've always declined the invitation to come to church. What do I do? Well, I never tell someone who or where they should go to church, okay? But that is your choice. You know when God's word is being taught. You have spiritual discernment. Follow it. Question, why did God give Satan so much power? When we are turned into our spiritual bodies, do we have power as well? We do right now. I want you to make a note of Luke chapter 10, verse 19. God gives you power over all of your enemies, including Satan. Satan only has power if you allow it. We don't allow it. We tell him to hoof it back where he came from. Do not put up with his malarkey. Christians don't give one inch of ground. We take ground. You do this, of course, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You order them out. He doesn't have power over us. We have power over him. He's afraid of us. Michael from Indiana. Where in the Bible does it say, to whom much is given, of him shall much be required? One good place probably is Luke chapter 12, verse 48. Luke 12, 48. If God gives you a lot, he expects a lot. And that's only as it is. We cannot claim the gifts that God gives us. They're his. And he's the giver of them. And so it is not really the person, but it is God that accomplishes good things. And he has servants. Yes, we be his servants. But many times he will give you truths, but he expects you to take those truths and produce fruit. And boy, if you don't produce fruit, wacko, you're out. You're done. And so it is. I don't want to put anybody on a guilt trip. Very few people will ever listen to you. The main destiny of Christians today is to witness against the false Messiah. So don't ever get nervous. But when God gives people much, he expects them to use it. Okay. Nancy from Montana. I was told that we should never use the Father, our Lord, when we need him. Who would ever have told you such a thing as that? Well, I write in my journal every day, and I always say, Lord, here I am, and I talk to him. So I am using him because I talk to him like that. Well, you're doing what is right. I don't know who would have told you. When we need him, that's the time you talk to him. He loves us, and he loves you. Naturally... If one of your children, you know, God is supernatural. That's more natural than we are, but you are natural. If one of your children, if you're blessed, needed you, was in trouble and needed you, a team of horses couldn't hold you back from helping that child. Well, neither will God. When you need him and you love him, he's going to be there. So he expects you to call on him. That's his orders to us. Frank from Texas. Since there are seven churches mentioned in Revelation and only two are approved by God, is Shepherd's Chapel one of them, and who is the other by name? I would never be presumptuous enough to say that. I never judge any churches. We teach the truth, and we teach the truth that Smyrna and Philadelphia taught. However many other churches, you have to discern that for yourself. You often talk about the Canaanites. You're misspelling it. It's K-I-N-E-T-S. Canaanites are a good people. Kenites are not. Your research is off, okay? My question is, who are the Canaanites? Kenites are the sons of Cain. We covered it today, but you're misspelling it. And in your research, you would go into the wrong category totally. It's K-I-N-E-T-S. Cain in the Hebrew tongue, if you were to use the Strong's, is Kagan. Okay. Joseph from Texas, can anything be gained by prayer to saints who have died? Always do what Christ tells you. How did he say pray? Our Father, whom art in heaven. You pray to your Father. And you do it in Christ's name. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying Father's Word. Most of all, God loves you for it. It makes his day. And when you, I'm talking about you, make his day, boy, is he going to make yours. You can count on it. Let him know you love him, won't you? We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Won't you do that? Bless God. He will always bless you. But most important, you listen to me and you listen good. You stay in his word every day, and his word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's word here on